pleased to have you all here. And we have a beautiful public talk that we should pay a lot of attention, because it's really important to get all the sense of all that we hear here in our meeting. So the theme of the talk is, does the truth affect your life? We'll ask Brother LeMay to please to represent this.
How many religions would you say there are? We know it's many. Would it be 100? Maybe 500? Maybe even 1,000? Well, there's a study that estimated the total religions worldwide, and it said it could be very well 4,200, but even as high as 10,000 religions. So most religions, if not all of them, will claim that what they say comes from God, that what they teach is the truth. Now, logically, we would think that there must only be one true religion. So with maybe over 10,000 religions worldwide, how can we know the truth? Well, we have some help. And in our first image here, do you recognize this scene? Jesus is here in the middle of two guards, and we see Pontius Pilate there sitting down. And Pilate is asking him a series of questions. This is just before, or this scene is taking, is being done just before Jesus is put to death. So let's see one of the questions that Pilate asks in John chapter 18, verse 37. So if you can follow along in your Bibles in John chapter 18. Verse 37. So Pilate said to him, "Well then, are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You yourself are saying that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is on the side of the truth listens to my voice." So Jesus answers Pilate, and he declares what his purpose is for coming into the world. It's to bear witness to the truth. Even says that those listening to his voice, to Jesus' voice, are listening to the truth. Now, what's Pilate's reaction to this? Well, he's not too interested. And we can see this in the next verse, where Pilate asks another question, maybe in a cynical way, saying, "What is truth?" Kind of implying that no one can really know the truth about everything. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about truth in general. He's talking about the truth. So what is Jesus referring to when he says the truth? Well, let's look at the answer just the chapter before. So John 17, 17. It says here, "Sanctify them by means of the truth. Your word is truth." So whose word would this be? Jehovah, right? Jehovah's word is the truth. So it's not about the truth in general. It's about divine truth. Jesus was talking about the truth on Jehovah, the truth about his purposes, the truth about the kingdom. Divine truth is found in God's word, the Bible, which we also call the Holy Scriptures. And when we are able to study the Bible, when we really meditate on what is written there, we're able to gain accurate knowledge that identifies the truth. But it even does more than that. Let's see what else in the same book of John, but now chapter 8. So John 8, verses 31 and 32. It says here, John 8:31, then Jesus went on to say to the Jews who had believed him, if you remain in my word, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. By knowing the truth, Jesus says we can be set free. So that would also imply or mean that we are slaves to something. But because of the truth, we're able to be set free. Primarily, Jesus is here referring to being slaves to sin and that we can be freed from that sin. But truth also frees us from specific consequences that we feel today because of sin. So the theme of our talk is, does the truth affect your life? Let's take a few minutes to see how this happens, how the truth affects our life. So we heard that word slave, and when we think of slavery, we often think throughout history what has happened, where people, millions of people, were sold into slavery, but for them, there was no opportunity of freedom. But we're talking about here different types of slavery, one that all of mankind is subjected to. And there's another key difference that we notice in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. So Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. It says, I take the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you today that I have put life and death before you, the blessing and the curse. And you must choose life so that you may live, you and your descendants. So the key difference there is these types of slaveries, well, there's an opportunity for freedom. It mentions here, you must choose life so that you may live. So all of us individually are able to choose life when we choose to serve Jehovah God. And when we do so, Jehovah is going to set us free from things that can harm us today. The Watchtower compared us to a surgeon doing an operation on a life-threatening condition that we would have. With that surgery, he can free us from that condition. And if we hear on top of that, that surgeon has performed that same type of surgery hundreds of times, always successful, well, our confidence in that surgeon grows. Our trust in Jehovah, it also grows when we continue to learn about him, when we continue to study his word, when we see his truth setting us free. So let's look at some ways that the truth affects our life. The first one would be that living by the truth results in freedom from the fear and despair of over-present world conditions. So what are the present world conditions? What is some of the news that you've been hearing lately? War between Ukraine and Russia, hurricane devastations, human rights violations, as we saw in Iran, the fear of a severe recession, and even closer to home, just last week, right, we had a double homicide here. So really, it's understandable when there's this fear and despair that people have when they look at what is happening right beside their house, but also all over the planet. We become slaves to that fear, not knowing what could happen. But how do we get free from that? Well, let's look at a truth in the Bible. Psalm 37, verse 10 and 11. Psalm 37, verse 10 and 11. Just a little while longer, and the wicked will be no more. You will look at where they were, and they will not be there. But the meek will possess the earth. And they will find exquisite delight in the abundance of peace. So we have an image here that goes really well with the verse that we just read. Do you see any wicked here? No, right? Like the verse says, they will be no more. They will not be there. And instead, we will see abundance of peace. The meek will possess the earth. So although all of us, we face the same current world conditions, same problems, we can be free from them because we have this Bible prophecy and many more that Jehovah has given us to show us that he promises one day that we will be soon living in a world that will be free of all these conditions that we see. So that's comforting to us. We're no longer slaves to this fear. Another one that we have is enslavement to false religion teachings. So one in particular that we could say has happened since the beginning of time is the condition of the dead. So many fear the dead. Many are afraid even of passing in front of a cemetery, especially at night. And I took a look at some of the watchtowers of traditions and superstitions that some people have because of this. They'll burn a red pepper, and that unpleasant smell is to drive away the soul from the house. Or they will put coins on the eyes of the dead, open the windows, open the doors, so that they can liberate the soul. Even some think that the dead will return to hurt or even kill family members if they don't have some type of elaborate feast with sacrifice to appease the dead spirit. And it can get expensive because millions would turn to witch doctors, spirit mediums, and even clergymen for help. Knowledge about the truth brings us freedom. So let's look at the truth that frees us from this. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. We read here, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing at all, nor do they have any more reward, because all memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love and their hate and their jealousy have already perished, and they no longer have any share in what is done under the sun." With the truth, we can see the dead cannot harm us. It mentions that their hate, their jealousy, if they have any, it's perished. No longer do they have any share in what is done under the sun. We even have more comfort if we really dig into the scripture because it says the dead know nothing at all. They're not conscious. So there's no fear of maybe a dead loved one suffering harm in a eternal torment. We understand, and there's no doubt in our minds that this truth sets us free from that type of fear. Let's talk a bit more personally about our very being, how the truth affects our life. And we'll see it through some real life examples. So the first one that we have, it's Annunziato Lugara. So we see him here. Born and raised in a poor working class. And he says his life was tough. He never knew his real mother. He did not have a good relationship with his father. And he said he grew up learning the rules of the street. So by 10 years old, he was already stealing. And often he had to be picked up at the police headquarters. 14 years old, left home, living on the streets, breaking into cars to be able to sleep through the night. He said that he argued constantly with people, very violent, and he was just angry at the world. He became so good at stealing purses, apartment, villas, that I guess we could say he gained such a good, bad reputation that he was invited to join a notorious gang, and he upgraded to bank robbery. He says, "I never went anywhere without my gun. In fact, I slept with it under my pillow. Violence, drugs, stealing, foul language, and immorality became my way of life." And because of this, he was arrested several times, spent many years in and out of prison. Now, on one occasion when he was released from prison, he decided to go visit one of his aunts, which he did not know had now become a Jehovah's Witness. And she invited him to a meeting. Out of curiosity, he decided to go and attend to see what it was about. But he insisted to sit by the door so that he can look at who was coming in and out. And he says that at that meeting, he was armed. But he continues by saying, "That meeting changed my life. I remember thinking that I must be on a different planet. I was greeted by people with warm, friendly, smiling faces. I still have a vivid picture in my mind of the kind, honest look the witnesses had in their eyes. I started to study the Bible with the witnesses. The more I learned, the clearer it became that I had to change my lifestyle completely." So let's read the marvelous change the Bible helped him to do through the truth. And it has also helped many of us to change, right? So that's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32. It says, "Put away from yourselves every kind of malicious bitterness, anger, wrath, screaming, and abusive speech, as well as everything injurious. But become kind to one another, tenderly compassionate, freely forgiving one another, just as God also by Christ freely forgave you." So our brother Lugara, he distanced himself from that gang, and he was able to clean himself physically. Our next picture will show us that. He stopped smoking drugs. He stopped with the bad language. And he says it wasn't easy, but with Jehovah's help, he was able to succeed. Saying that for the first time in his life, he felt like he had control over his actions. So his desire to walk with God helped him and helped many others to learn to love kindness, as we read, to display those godly qualities, as we read here. And he concludes that experience by saying, "Learning about Jehovah saved my life. And most of my former companions are dead or in prison, but I have truly a satisfying life and a future to look forward to. I have learned to be humble and obedient and to control my volcanic temper. As a result, I enjoy better relationships with people around me. I am happily married to my beautiful wife, Carmen. Together, we find great joy in helping others learn about the Bible. Oh, and I now do honest work. It sometimes still involves banks, but instead of robbing them, I clean them." So we see how the truth affected the life of our brother. Another way the truth affects our life, and we've touched it a bit with the example we just heard of, it's about alcohol dependence, use of tobacco, drug addiction. Now, worldwide, this is a problem that enslaves millions of people, and we don't really have to look too far. Just in Canada, in a study that was done in 2018, it said that almost 20%, so one out of five people that are 12 years and older, are heavy drinkers. 12 years and older. Each day, when it comes to tobacco, in Canada, 100 people die from smoke-related illnesses. If we go worldwide, that's 8 million people a day, which means one person every 5 seconds dies from smoke-related illness. Drug addiction, well, a study in Canada also showed 21% of Canadians use cannabis. And we've all heard of the opioid crisis. And this is really just scratching the surface. But let's look at an example of how this affected a man named Joseph Ehrenbogen. So he grew up in a suburb that was renowned for its violence. He says his childhood was not easy. His dad died of alcoholism when he was only 10 years old. 5 years later, his brother committed suicide, and then that same year, he had to witness a murder during a family feud. So he said he was very disturbed as a young man, and he turned himself to drinking. By 16 years of age, he was already drinking 10 to 15 beers a day. He started taking drugs, and by the 20s, he was already smoking what he says was 20 marijuana joints per day. Then he went on to heroin and other illicit substances. He said that several times he nearly died of an overdose. When he was 28 years old, he got married. But it didn't get better because he says he did not treat his wife with respect. He would often insult her, would beat her. But his wife started studying the Bible with Jehovah's Witnesses, and he was very opposed to it. He says that even one night, while drunk, he ended up setting his apartment on fire. And it was his wife that had to save him and their five-year-old daughter from the flames. After that fire, he decided to start studying the Bible. He decided to start attending Christian meetings. He started praying to Jehovah constantly. And within a month, he was able to quit drugs and the use of alcohol. Then a little while later, to quit smoking. He says it wasn't easy. The withdrawal symptoms were very terrible. But he concludes the experience by saying, "I am certain that Bible principles saved my life. Even my non-witness family members recognized that I would probably have died from substance abuse or have been killed in a fight. Jehovah God's love and mercy have deeply touched my life. I have a strong desire to talk about his qualities to those considered hopeless cases, for many viewed me as one. I know that the Bible has the power to help anyone find a clean and purposeful life." So let's see if we can recognize the truth that helped this brother and being able to follow God's word. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Where we read, "Therefore, since we have these promises, beloved ones, let us cleanse ourselves of every defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So we see the power of this truth and this desire to have a good relationship in the example we saw with our brother, but really with any of us, right? We can be free for any type of vice when we follow Bible truth. And this was really just a few areas in our lives where we see that right now, the truth affects our life. We'd be able to discuss many more. But it really, it shows us that we can be set free today. But we also have a greater fulfillment of being set free in the future. Let's look at what Romans chapter 8 tells us. So Romans chapter 8. We'll read verses 20 and 21. "For the creation was subjected to futility, not by his own will, but through the one who subjected it, on the basis of hope, that the creation itself will also be set free from enslavement to corruption and have the glorious freedom of the children of God." So in the future, all true worshipers on earth, all of us, will be able, as it says here, to be free from enslavement to corruption. And we'll have that glorious freedom of the children of God. So this will be, as we saw in that picture of paradise, true freedom from everything that has caused so much pain and so much distress to humankind, to all of us. This has been a few examples to really show us how good it is to serve Jehovah God. And through those truths, we were able to understand how the truth already affects our life today. Jehovah has filled his word with great practical advice that helps us to lead a happy life today. And what's also beautiful is that Jehovah doesn't force anybody to serve him. He knows that this is the best course for life for humans, but he does not want to force anybody in it. He wants us to express our love for him by freely choosing to serve him. Now, some say that Bible truths, well, they rob us of our freedom. But we see that it's the complete opposite. Yes, we saw that Jehovah, he gives us that choice. But also, we know that if we belong to the God that we love, if we choose the truth, and we see the benefits that it could bring to our life, we know that that's going to make us happy today and keep making us happy in the future. As we saw in that scripture of Psalm 37, 10, and 11, the meek will possess the earth. There'll be an abundance of peace. So we have, because of the truth, because of serving Jehovah God, that hope to live in a world where we'll see peace and righteousness all around us. So there's no doubt that we all want to be part in Jehovah's promised world. So what do we need to do? Well, let's look at the Bible again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. So Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 22-24. You were taught to put away the old personality that conforms to your former course of conduct and that is being corrupted according to its deceptive desires. And you should continue to be made new in your dominant mental attitude and should put on the new personality that was created according to God's will and true righteousness and loyalty. So if we want to live in God's new world, we need to, as it says, put away that old personality. So we saw how some truths, the divine truth, is going to help us to do that already from today, right? So we don't need to have that fear of the world conditions around us. We don't need to have that fear of some of the false religious teachings that might scare us. We don't need to have fear of being dependent on alcohol, that fear of drug addiction. We saw that if we choose divine truth, if we fully embrace it, it will help us to avoid those problems. It will help us to live a happy life today. It will help us to become better people. And then, as the verse said, we have to put on a new personality. And all of us can do this because it's Jehovah saying that we can. And Jehovah will never ask of us something that we cannot do. So our efforts to live in harmony with the truth will bring us spiritual protection and also will bring us Jehovah's smile of approval. Do you remember that first image of our talk? Jesus in front of Pilate. Do you remember what he said there? It was those words from John 18:37. He was telling all of us, to everyone, if we want to be on the side of the truth, we need to listen to his voice. So let's do just that. Let's obey Jehovah by carefully listening to Jesus' voice and by fearlessly taking our stand for the truth, the divine truth. And we know that if we apply Bible principles, that truth will affect our life. We saw that it will improve our lives right now. We will not be slaves to the world. And if we go to our next picture, we remember that one too, right? We will not be slaves to this world, and we will be able to enjoy real peace now and forever.